Avellaneda!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Peter has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. What a crazy weekend in store. I didn't even realize kind of how it felt until I was sitting here talking to Lydia about a half hour ago during the Blitz and just going, man, it's kind of must win or sort of huge opportunity for all three of the football teams in town, in state this week, right? Starts tonight, you know, you get the Cougs on primetime, Brock. This story for the Cougs is I don't know, it's not that it's unexpected. I mean, they've beaten three teams that aren't really expected to do all that much, at least at the major conference Power 5 level. But after last year and sort of the way it felt like everything, an era was sort of coming to an end, right? Luke Falk graduates and moves on. Yep. You know, the Alex Grinch, who had changed the program from a defensive standpoint, moves on.
Mike Leach was looking to move on.
Yeah, exactly. Mike Leach looked like he was trying to bail on the program, maybe go to Tennessee. And then the tragedy, obviously, with Tyler Helinski, taking it away from the human side of it, just to the football side for a moment. Okay, that was the future of the quarterback position. All of a sudden, you're just like, I don't see how this Cougar team can kind of be at the same level they've been the last few years. And now all of a sudden they're 3-0 and with a chance to go on the road to beat USC tonight, all of a sudden you're right back where you were the last few years.
Yes. Yeah, there's an immense opportunity. I'd put them in a little different boat than I would the Huskies and Seahawks.
Theirs is more opportunity ahead of them.
Yes.
The Huskies and Seahawks are much more of you better win.
I mean, it feels like a must-win game. I mean, for Washington, it's a must-win. For your playoff opportunities really from here on out, and they hate to hear that, and Coach Peterson would hate to hear that, and you could still absolutely win the conference, especially against a South foe, which is still their priority to win the conference and get to a Rose Bowl, and then let's see what happens. But for your, you know, true national title, Arizona State is unranked now coming in here, playing on the road after losing at San Diego. So you don't lose this game. This is a game you just do not lose. And for the Seahawks, man, I don't even want to imagine life at 0-3. For Pete and for Russ and for Shoddy and all the rest of them, for John, I don't want to imagine and put myself in a place come Monday sitting with Pete at 9:30. Yeah, you're 0-3, because we can talk about 0-2 playoff odds. We get to 0-3, we get into a very different conversation. And as Matt said yesterday, the best team maybe in the NFC and maybe all the NFL is in your division now with the Rams, who you know they get to 3-0 and you're looking at 0-3, and then you know we're talking only wild card. I don't even want to imagine those possibilities or right. The lack thereof. But that is what's absolutely on the line, and the quarterback I think feeling some of the weight of that, the coordinator feeling the weight of that, and the head coach absolutely feeling a ton of weight of that as he wants to.
I saw you polling on this a little bit yesterday with the pressure on the quarterbacks. What did you learn as a great pollster?
Yeah, you know, thank you, Salk, for giving me the credit. Like you and Lydia, birds of a feather flocking together. We learned that yesterday, and you finally, after a year plus.
Don't tell that to Lydia. She's not happy about being compared to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we hashed it out afterwards. There was a big argument, a dust-up in the sports pit. Yeah. Lydia, like, furious that I was, you know,
There's no better way to prove I'm unlike you than just throwing a fit about it, right?
Hey.
Yes.
We both throw fits.
We are not alike.
You said birds of a feather. There were feathers flying everywhere. Yep. It was a major dust up in there, but we worked through it. We agreed that we are pretty similar.
More pressure, Jake Browning or Russell Wilson this weekend. And it was funny because every respondent who like wrote back said, oh, this is Jake. Not even close. Jake actually has a legitimate guy that in Jake Haener that could see more reps than, you know, Jake's whole legacy and everything he's done. It's absolutely Jake Browning, yet it was 4-1. Right? It was 80% Russell Wilson is the one that has all the pressure.
Well,
as a guy
bet,
making $20 million.
That's an interesting thing. I would bet that has something to do with the way you interpret the word pressure. Right, Jake Browning's pressure. I think the answer is probably Jake Browning, because his pressure is somewhat twofold. One, he's competing for his job every week right now, and regardless of the compete every day philosophy, Russell Wilson flat out isn't. Now, he may be competing for his salary long term.
Correct.
And what he's going to make, but he's not competing for a job.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Browning is a bad performance away from it having to be an open competition for the quarterback job, and he is certainly a minor injury away from Jacob Haener coming in and saying, yeah, sorry, Jake, you got dinged up a little bit. We're going to let this kid go and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean,
so in that regard, yes. I would say that he probably edges out Russell. But where Russell's team is at, I think their team is under more pressure right now in some ways.
Well, and
just desperation.
I mean,
time.
It is kind of a fascinating little debate because, as you say that, and I would vote for Jake Browning in that thing as far as pressure. I think I could easily argue that it's no. This is much more about Russell with everything that's been put on him. Mm-hmm. His head coach that's already been nitpicking him, which we talked about yesterday. A lot of folks around the league in line waiting and hoping to see him fail. Sadly, a lot of folks that are using this year as a real okay. Let's strip you of your defense. Let's strip you of these things. And if you're a franchise quarterback, you still win 7 or 8 games like Drew did and like Big Ben did and those guys did. So I think there's just the weight of all of that. And, yeah, you're right. A contract year after this season that he'd like to see in the $30 million
Which
a year
means
range.
This is really his contract year. I mean, I think that's the thing that should be noted on the Russell part of it. This is actually his contract year. For quarterbacks, especially, and for some, in some ways, just sort of in general in the NFL, the year before your walk year is your contract year because you're expecting to negotiate that deal a year before your deal ends.
Correct.
Right? It's not baseball where your contract year is actually the year that you expire and you're going to go become a free agent.
This is where Cam, where Matt, this is where all of the guys, this is where you get paid after this season with 1 year left on your deal. Right, because it sets the dominoes for the whole rest of your organization when you're at this point. So this organization is also looking at Russ. You know, to say, hey, you know, we really believe in you, and I think there's the majority that absolutely do, and his track record of 6 years speaks for itself.
Yeah.
But you still got to go out there and you got to win. You got to beat the Cowboys. And by the way, you're not necessarily played great against the Cowboys, right? You beat them last year in a really ugly game. Their defense has suffocated you at times. That's a front with DeMarcus Lawrence and other guys that you know can get after the quarterback at a really high level, like so many teams in this league. There's no gimme. You know, if it's the Buffalo Bills coming in, maybe. But that's about it in the NFL. That's about it. Because the Arizona Cardinals come in the following week. Guess what all those guys have done to you up front?
Yeah, but that team is pretty bad. I would like to think that you go on the road and beat Arizona next week. But I would say, in the meantime, you're right. I mean, this Dallas team is not bad. They're an okay team. You did beat them, but you beat them on the road last year. And I would like to hope that coming back to the home crowd and everything else and all the energy that they need to put together, I would hope that they are able to go out and beat Dallas. And I'll pick them this week for sure. I think the Seahawks win. And by the way, I think they win somewhat handily. I don't think this is a last-second win. I think the Seahawks actually go out and beat up on Dallas a little bit and win by a touchdown or so, maybe 10 points. I think in this building with the crowd and all the grief they've taken, I know it's coming off a short week and that hurts them a little bit, but I have a better sense, especially getting Bobby, maybe KJ back. I think that will be a difference maker. I got a text here, though, 710-710 powered by Coors Light. If the Seahawks lose, I might just have to become a Browns fan. Well, after last night, I can see why.
Wow. And with great pride, I say, the Browns are in victory formation. Baker Mayfield takes a knee. Count it down, everybody. The Browns are winners tonight. And the drought is over. Led by the number one overall draft choice, Baker Mayfield.
Yep, the Browns win, Brock. That's how it sounded on Cleveland radio. Play celebration, cheer in the streets, dilly-dilly with free beer. The whole thing is happening, Brock, in Cleveland.
Kind of cool to see how a quarterback energizes everybody, though, isn't it? Why do we talk about quarterbacks? Why was a show built on rock and roll and quarterbacks? Why? Because that guy can just change the whole dynamic of your team, of a building, of a fan base, and people watching all around the country. The guy just is electric. The guy that, you know, you probably liked him a little bit more than I did. I wouldn't have imagined taking him at number one. I still like a lot of things that Sam Darnold does, but you cannot deny the most important aspect oftentimes at that position, and that is elevating the belief of everyone around you. Mark Schlatter saying simply when John Elway walked into the huddle, it didn't matter how beat up his knees were. It didn't matter that he couldn't play like he used to. Everybody in that huddle is like, yeah, we're just going to do this.
I mean,
we're going to ride.
We could talk more about Baker. You're right. I did like him a little bit more than you did. And I'm rooting for that kid. But just the whole thing in Cleveland, man. To see those people in the stands last night. To see how excited they were.
They won the Super Bowl, bro. Did you see the streets?
Were they going to rush the field? And would it have been okay if they had?
They're rushing to the Bud Light coolers, bro.
Dude, I'll tell you, you know how I feel about rushing the field. I'm generally out on, you know, these random field rushings. But, like, there's time and a place.
Anybody ever rush the field in pro sports?
They used to, yeah. I mean, you see, obviously, when Hank Aaron hit the home run.
Footage, yeah.
Sure.
You've seen it at the Boston Garden.
I've seen it in the NFL.
If Baker had planted a flag, then yes. I think they would have.
You've seen it in basketball and in baseball.
Okay.
I don't think we've ever seen it in football. But if they had done it in Cleveland yesterday, torn down the goalposts, marched through the streets, finally ending their drought, I don't think I would have had a problem with that. And I don't think anybody else would have either. 7:10, yeah, time would've. For Need to Know.
Clayton.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Seahawks take on the Cowboys in their home opener this Sunday. The injury report from yesterday has a couple of big-time names on it. Russell Wilson listed as a full participant but does have a hamstring injury. So that's something to watch for. We'll see whether or not he's able to run and move around. Bobby Wagner practiced. KJ Wright still did not, which makes it hard for me to imagine that he's going to be able to go. On the other hand, after watching Michael Kendricks play this past week, a Bobby Wagner-Michael Kendricks combo for 1 week doesn't sound like the
Kendricks was limited, though.
Yeah, he's got to stop it. Justin Britt, Ethan Posick both sat out. Limited? If he's limited, he's going to be out there, Kyle. Don't you even worry about it. I'm much more worried about Ethan Posick. One thing, I think we know that Justin Britt's going to be out for a little while. Jake Heap's tweeting that out and saying, yeah, this is not just going to be a one-week deal. This could be a little while. Ethan Posick, man, has been playing awfully well, and... only so many injuries I can see that offensive line suffering.
Yeah, we all want them to run the football, right? Run.
You get Fluker back.
Yeah, you do get Fluker back. You're probably now going to have little Joey Hunt in the middle of it. He's not necessarily your run-blocking stalwart. And then if Ethan Posick is out, now you're really looking at moving some pieces around. Probably Sweezy playing the left side and just not having that continuity that you have been so seeking and desiring. And, oh, by the way, a Cowboys group that rotates a lot of people, a Cowboys group that knows you inside and out. I'll dig into that in a little more detail in Blue 42 with Chris Richard over there. In a scheme that's going to challenge your group up front, that's just got to protect. And oh, by the way, your quarterback has got to believe in them and believe in the people around him. A lot going on. Come 1 o'clock kickoff, Central Link Field.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield made his NFL debut last night after Tyrod Taylor got hurt and leads the Browns to their first win since December of 2016. Browns 21, Jets 17, your final score from Cleveland in the battle of the first two quarterbacks taken this year. I'll tell you what, man. Three storylines here. One, I do feel a little bad for Tyrod Taylor. That's a try-hard guy. He's got a lot of Tavares Jackson in him. Not necessarily the same player, but just sort of the same heart, and he's the type of guy that I root for. I've always liked Tyrod Taylor. So bummed for him to not be able to get Cleveland to that first win. I think that would have been great, and then let eventually Baker Mayfield take over. Number two, I really like Baker. I like him a lot, and it's his confidence. I know he's accurate, and I know he moves around a little bit. He's got arm strength. I just like the confidence, and it started last year when they interviewed him on Cleveland radio, and he said, no, I want to come to Cleveland. I want to be the one to turn Cleveland around, and I think that's absolutely the right attitude. It's the polar opposite of LeBron James and his buddies deciding they want to play together and join super teams. It's saying, no, I want to come to the place where they haven't had any success, have success, and have them build a statue for me, man. I thought that was great, and I thought he delivered on that, at least started to last night. And then for the people of Cleveland, great sports fans who've been awfully abused, they had a great night for them at their stadium.
And I'll take it, Mike, even one step further. Joe Buck's going to join us in 15 minutes. He was on the call last night. He's going to be on the call with Troy with the Seahawks and Cowboys come Sunday here. I'll take it even one step above all of that. That was a tremendous Thursday night product. That was one of the best Thursday nights other than Thanksgiving games, maybe season openers. Yeah, I mean, it was fun, man. It was exactly what this league needs. Not any of the drama, not any of the stuff off the field, but a couple young quarterbacks. And Sam Darnold did some awesome things. And, oh, my gosh, they believe that he's their hero and conquering savior in New York. And here comes Baker Mayfield, who goes 17 for 23 with four drops, by the way. I think he threw one bad pass all of last night. Could have been a pick, and it wasn't. And it bounced off and saved a field goal for them and maybe saved the game. But you just saw that whole community just immersed in his energy and emotion. And last night on that old Twitter and in the social media world, you felt the sports world immersed in the NFL, which for a Thursday night hasn't happened
second
in a long,
Thursday in a row.
Time.
Bengals and Ravens was real good last week as well.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Bengals going to be even more fun this week, Brock. Now they got Game Day Rawls on that roster. Cougs in L.A. tonight. They'll take on the 1-2 USC Trojans, 7:30 on ESPN. You can also hear it on our sister station, 770 KTTH. I said it earlier, and I really believe this. Cougs have a great opportunity in front of them. If the Seahawks and Huskies are dealing with significant pressure this weekend, the Cougs have opportunity. This was a team that I think most people thought was down and out after losing their great defensive coordinator, graduating their quarterback, and unfortunately the tragedy with Tyler Helinski. It didn't seem like anybody was ready for this team to go forward.
Yep.
And as of right now, 3-0 with a chance to beat USC on the road tonight, they absolutely have that
chance. I will tell you this, Salky. The Cougs have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain. They were picked to finish near the bottom of this conference with Oregon State. There just was not a sense of belief because of everything you talked about, a backup to a backup quarterback coming in here and is a transfer. Now, Mike Leach's track record with first-year quarterbacks is pretty darn good. Mike Leach's track record with guys that want to just cut it loose and go let it rip and play and have nothing to lose mentality has also been pretty good. And Clay Helton down at USC, my goodness gracious. You want to talk about Pete not wanting to be 0-3. If Clay Helton is 1-3, get ready for some real conversations about who could be the next USC head coach.
All right, there you go. There's three things you need to know every morning right at 7:10. Wait, this can't be right, can it?
What's that?
Hugh Jackson claims the Browns did not steal the Philly special from the Eagles.
Mm.
Dude, what's wrong with Hugh Jackson? Like, I understand that he had to sort of make up this thing about not changing quarterbacks yet. Okay, fine. You got to be nice to Tyrod Taylor. There's a respect thing, even though everybody knows Baker's going to be your quarterback going forward. But what are you talking about? You ran the Philly special last night. You mean you didn't steal it? Of course you stole it. This is the Philly special.
Now he's running away from center, and the snap goes to Duke Johnson. Then they flip it around. Then they throw it, and Mayfield caught it! It's the Philly special, Cleveland style! David Njoku! I love it!
All right, they're specifically calling it the Philly special on the Browns broadcast.
Yeah. They call it the Dilly Dilly Special in Cleveland, okay? They've had that in for years. Don't you dare.
What? Baker Mayfield's going to be good, and they got a heck of a defense there. And I honestly think the Browns will have some success either this year or beyond.
Mm-hmm.
But don't tell me that Hugh Jackson's bad. He's just not a very good coach.
And then the psychopath D coordinator. You
Greg
see
Williams.
Him at the end of the game, Greg, with his glasses just broken on his face like old Nick Holt had him hanging down back in the day. He's nuts. Nobody wants to be around him at all. The bearded offensive coordinator, he just kind of hangs in his space. It's a totally dysfunctional deal.
Oh, we didn't steal that, though. We never even seen the Philly special.
Oh, look at this. Clayton's line's not working.
I know.
Great, huh?
How weird.
Interesting.
The Browns win,
yeah.
And Clayton doesn't want to. He's 2 minutes late. We've got technology problems. Yep. Heard John sabotaged his box at his house. Is that what happened?
Yeah, he cut his phone line.
Do we have a sabotage? Right.
Browns win, and the professor doesn't want to talk.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
If you want to take care of him now. And the price is only going to go up.
Every morning at 7:15.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. Are I kept you saying hello, hello, hello?
No, you didn't. No, you cut the line.
You didn't want to talk about the Browns, did you?
Hey, no. Last night with Jim Moore, I actually predicted the Browns were going to win.
You liar!
Oh,
that
really?
Didn't happen. No way. I don't believe you for one second.
No, it's the truth.
No, I don't believe. There's no way you brought yourself to pick the Browns.
I picked the Browns.
No,
last night.
You didn't.
I did.
Is the future bright?
No.
Are they going to win 8 games?
No.
Are they going to win 6 games?
No. They're going to win 4 or 5. And this is one that was predictable to win because here they were at home. You have a rookie quarterback, the youngest starting rookie quarterback since the merger, who's playing 3 games in 11 days, and you knew he was not going to be able to put a lot of points in the board. You know you had a Greg Williams defense that can be pretty good. But again, in typical Browns fashion, I mean, Tyrod Taylor had a horrible first half, mm-hmm. and here they were trailing. But Baker Mayfield came into the game, caught them off guard, and got the victory.
Salk doesn't see it at all, and we'll have this conversation maybe a little bit later. I do. I just see from his stature, from his own self-belief and playmaking ability, I see a little Russell Wilson in Baker Mayfield. Do you?
I wouldn't say Russell Wilson. No, I think it's completely different, but I definitely see some spark there because I think that you saw in Hard Knocks, he showed good energy. He was able to, I think, relate well with the players. I mean, you know, build some positive things going. You know, I wouldn't say more Russell Wilson. I'm trying to get a comparison in the league to see who it would be. But
I saw a little bit of Drew Brees more.
A little
than
bit
Russell.
Of Drew Brees, yeah. I think that could be.
And it's just really he just doesn't have the running ability of Russ. I mean, not that he can't run around a little bit, but mm-hmm. they're not running read option or running some of the plays. I think with Russ, but man, there's no doubt he energized that team last night. And they got a pretty good defense, John.
They do. Yeah, I mean, I think that you look at that defensive line. The weaknesses. In the secondary, but I think overall they've got some good talent. They've been drafting high for so many years.
They could be 3-0 right now.
They could have been, but they're
and with
the Browns.
And with a different kicker, they'd almost certainly be 2-1.
Right, right. But they are 1-1-1.
Who finishes the year with more wins? The Browns or the Seahawks?
Seahawks. Unless you don't think the Seahawks are going to win 5 games?
I do, but I also think the Browns are going to win maybe more than 5 games.
Are you going to get together with Stone Cold Locks with Jim Moore?
No, I'm not doing that. I don't know how you watch that team and see them as bad as you do. They're a pretty good team.
Let's not go that far.
They have a bad coach, and that's the problem for me, is that eventually Hugh Jackson's going to cost them at least 2-3 games this year.
Hey, when you're hanging out on the sidelines come Sunday with those Cowboys, what's the starting Seahawk offensive line going to look like?
Right now it looks like probably Joey Hunt at center and J.R. Sweezy at left guard. That's what I'm kind of thinking. Again, the one I think that can maybe get a long shot of getting out there could be Ethan Posick with the ankle. Because, again, I mean, what you watched last year, the Seahawks got through two players with ankle injuries.
So let me get this straight then. We've got Ifedi, who no one feels particularly great. Yeah. He's got a block to Marcus Lawrence. I've got Fluker back playing for the first time in 3 weeks. I got little Joey Hunt, who's a shade bigger than Boy Howdy. And now I flipped over J.R. Sweezy, who really didn't have a training camp, but now he's going to be my left guard.
Yeah,
but everything's going to be all right.
This is like the third straight week. Once the injury report starts coming out and you're seeing some things happen, I mean, you just don't feel good about things. And right now, those injuries on the offensive line make you not feel good about things.
So every week now, it seems like we've been talking about Jermaine Ifedi going against one of the best pass rushers in the league, right? It started with Von Miller and then Khalil Mack, and now it's going to be DeMarcus Lawrence.
Well, I think DeMarcus is going to play more of the right side.
Well, that's my question. Yeah. It's like, isn't the whole thing that the left tackle's supposed to take the best pass rusher? Why does Jermaine Ifedi have to deal with it every week?
Well, because he's the right tackle when they put the left side defensive player in the last 2 weeks. Von Miller plays against the right tackle, and Khalil Mack plays against the right tackle.
I guess what I'm asking, is that a major change in the way NFL defenses are preparing now? Is the left tackle position becoming less valuable and the right tackle position starting to grow in value?
I think it just used to be that pass rusher was always on the blind side, right-handed quarterback.
And now they're saying it's...
And now I think you're seeing with their blinding speed, it doesn't really matter.
And I guess what I'm saying is, will that change the way the NFL teams operate, John?
No, not at all.
No, of course not.
Because again, what it is, is like, what's the natural side for where the player is going to go? And, you know, Von Miller has always been on the left side going against the right tackle. Khalil Mack, you know, for the most part, has been more on the left side. And, you know, Marcus Lawrence is more on the right side.
You don't think NFL teams will adjust on offense?
No.
Okay. Let's do a wild card.
Time now for the wild card.
Wild card. Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
It's time for Fan Fiction Friday.
Oh, boy.
As one of the world's most revered optometrists, John Clayton is invited to a conference as a keynote speaker on a new zooming contact lens that he's created. But the night before he's about to unveil his new technology, Clayton gets kidnapped by a group of his friends from high school, an ex-con played by Vincent D'Onofrio, a Florida DJ played by Owen Wilson, and a mobster played by Vince Vaughn. Watch as Clayton is forced to party all night with his ragtag group of friends and, with the help of a bartender played by Boy Howdy, tries to shake his friends by framing them for a murder that Howdy's cousin, Gilbert Godfrey, committed. Will Clayton make it back in time for his speech, or will it become too sticky of a situation to escape?
No, I'm worried about the timing of it because, again, I don't know what time before the speech they grab me, and, of course, you trying to get me out of there, I think, is going to be the key. But I think I have a decent chance because what will end up happening, I mean, these three guys, I think, are going to party so much that they're going to lose their ability to control things. And unless they brought staff with them, then I think that they're not going to be able to totally succeed. So I think we have a decent chance of getting back and getting that speech done.
Oh,
and, of course, our eyes are going to be so much better because of these lenses.
Zooming. Yeah. You can zoom in on
zooming
anything
you want. Wow. Yes.
It's amazing. John, have a great weekend. You guys don't have to travel. Enjoy being home, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
All right, sounds good.
All right, there you go. John Clayton with us every morning at 7:50. I want to go right to it here because we got Joe Buck, who's calling the game on Sunday and fresh off the big Cleveland win last night. We'll talk to Joe next here on Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
All right, Joe Buck is going to join us here in about a minute. Looking forward to it. He's calling the game. Hopefully there won't be any petitions I don't know how many more, you know, Seahawks lose, and I don't know how many more Joe Buck games we're going to be watching around here, by the way. Yes. Things will be different for a little bit if they fall to 0-3. But Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will be on the call tomorrow, or on Sunday, rather, just as they were last night for the Cleveland game. So that was a lot of fun. We'll talk to Joe here in just a second. Brock, by the way, is on the call for the Huskies tomorrow, gets to stay home. A lot of cool stuff planned for the opening
Friday.
Of this.
Yeah, we usually don't get this, right? Whole family's here together. And you know where I'm going to be next week? I'm going to be with the Ticket Mouse. Back in Dallas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ticket Mouse.
Be back with the Ticket Mouse down there at ESPN Dallas next Friday.
That's always fun.
Checking in. So it will be great. And I get to see Herm Edwards today, Coach Peterson, the Husky staff today.
That'll
so,
be fun.
Yeah, it's really nice to have a home game.
Yeah, it is. Of course, the last time you did, of course, Jim Mora took
that?
Some exceptions.
You did?
Yeah, I wasn't
I don't remember
pleased.
That.
Yeah. And I had your back.
Yes.
I told you yesterday, I'll tell you again. If Herm Edwards calls you out after this game the way Jim Mora did.
Yes.
I'm not getting your back.
No, that's understood.
I stand with Herm.
Yeah, yes.
Is that fair?
I think that's totally fair.
I don't think he will call you up, but if he does.
I may just shut it down then.
I'm
just be
Herm.
Like the spotter for Joe Buck.
You're a bad guy if Herm calls you up. Yep. Joe Buck joining us right now here on the Venue Kings Hotline. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Good morning. I'm actually looking for a spotter. You're in.
Okay, good. Well, if Herm's got a problem with me like Mora did last year, then I'm out. I'm out of this business, man. I don't want to keep raising the hell like
that. I don't even know the history of
this. Oh, really? You should Google it, Joe. It's really great last year with Josh Rosen and Jim Mora.
Mora said Brock was no friend of his and didn't know anything about football.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I think you'd get a chuckle out of it if you have a little time at the airport today. Oh, hello?
We've lost Joe.
Oh, hello.
Either that or Joe also has a problem with you now.
Or maybe he's checking Google right now.
Entirely possible.
Hello?
I don't know what's going on with Joe Buck there.
I think he is on his way to the airport.
He may be having problems after last night's win in Cleveland, everything that went down there. We got
the
back.
Whole infrastructure shut down.
Joe, how crazy was last night?
It was like a playoff game, and it's week three, and it's Cleveland. And good for them. You know, these fans have been through enough. They had their franchise taken away. They had the reboot that... You know, it's been forever since they've been in a postseason game, and they've had this stretch where they've whiffed so many times on first-round picks. And to see him step in and change the feel and the rhythm and the outcome of the game was really, really something fun to be a part of that and be in the middle of that was awesome. I loved every minute of it.
We'll get to the Seahawks here in a second as you're flying in with the crew and getting ready for Sunday's game. But, you know, did you get a chance to chat with Baker? Was he in the production meeting or watching practice? Did you get any sense that this was coming?
He's been tucked away. It's funny to read the comments by Hugh Jackson today saying, well, I got to look at the film to see who the starter is next week. No, you don't. No, we have our answer. The answer is Baker Mayfield. There'll be no film watching to determine who your better quarterback is. He proved it last night in a game at home and changed, you know, the entire evening. And the place was electric, and it's exactly what this franchise needed. So, no. So, even in the preseason when we did a preseason game here in Cleveland, they brought both quarterbacks in at the same time, so they were protecting Baker and maybe in some way protecting Tyrod Taylor in kind of presenting them as two, not one, and that's just got to change. I mean, Baker's the guy now.
You guys had some pretty good Thursday night games over the last few weeks. Are you enjoying the extra game every week?
Yeah, I like it. You know, I like it because it's fun being on in prime time. It's fun kind of being the only show in town, so to speak. And then, you know, when it's a single header weekend, I get a weekend at home. So my wife and I just had twins 4 months ago, and home life is great, hectic. It's a lot of juggling, not just with the kids, but getting ready for these different games. And I left a couple days ago for three games now without going home. Headed to Seattle now and then down in L.A. after that game for our first Thursday night game on Fox. So it's a lot, but I like to work. So,
I got to tell you, man.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
If my wife had 4-month-old twins at home, I'd be scheduling extra baseball games in there. Like, I got to fly to St. Louis. I got a Cardinals game. Maybe I got to fly up to Minnesota for something. Like, I think I might spend a couple of weeks on the road at that point.
No, I really, I'm paying Fox to do this just so I can get sleep.
That's good. All right, what you're going to come here now and talk to Pete. What are you expecting to see in Seattle?
Well, I expect the typical Pete, which I think is a good thing. You know, if I'm a player, I don't want a coach that's down. I think Pete will be positive. I think he'll look at the sunny side of everything. I just, when I look at that team, and obviously I'll have more by the time we're kicking off on Sunday, but you know, it just seems like the offensive line has been an issue for a long time, and they have not found the right answers to protect Russell. And I know some of that's on Russell, but the 12 sacks, and they've faced tough defenses and blah, 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 but they're going to have their hands full this week with Dallas. And we've seen Dallas, we saw them week one in Carolina, and they can get you from a lot of different levels, and they can get you from a lot of different angles. They're tough defensively. They're now a defensive team, much more so than an offensive team. And I think actually two teams that go into this game with offensive line questions, and the turnover on the defense, obviously. It seems like they've got good young corners if they're healthy, and you know, still have Earl for how long we don't know, but there's a lot of turnover and injury at the linebacker level, so they've got question marks. But I guarantee you Dallas is going into that game knowing they're going to have their hands full against an 0-2 Seahawks team that, you know, basically needs to win, or this just, you know, this could get away fast.
Joe, one of the things I loved in your book years ago that I read was your production meeting with the Seahawks at Legion of Boom before the Super Bowl. And you said they all came in together, and it was just unlike maybe something you'd experienced before, with so much belief that they were just going to kill Denver. And, you know, belief is such a big thing. You watched last night, and you got to watch it. You know, the power of that belief when Baker came in the game. I will be very curious. And going in, what do you think you'll feel from a belief standpoint with this organization? Not just Pete, but you think you'll get any sense of that belief that this thing is absolutely headed the way they want it to be headed?
What do I think I'm going to feel or see? I don't know. I'm anxious. You know, I meant that in the book that I wrote that I had never seen a group come in that ready, that confident against Peyton Manning in a Super Bowl. It was just awesome. And, you know, like I said in the book, my wife, you know, used to work for the Broncos organization, and we just had our meetings with Denver, and I came back and I said, I know you love the Denver Broncos, but I'm telling you, they got no chance. And I had never felt that before. I don't know what it's going to be like. You know, it seems like the one guy that's remaining is, you know, he was mad last December, and we did that game in Dallas when he was running into their locker room in kind of a bizarre moment after a win, a big road win. So I don't know. That SI article was certainly interesting to read, and I just don't know. I know it's different than we've seen the last few years, and I'll just wait and see. Go in with my eyes open.
What do you make of not just the SI article, but just this whole storyline or narrative around Russell Wilson and the way he's perceived in the locker room and around his team as opposed to by everybody else?
I don't know. You know, I don't know that it's that unique. You know, from what I've witnessed in the whatever it's been 20 plus years covering the NFL, and Brock certainly knows it. And I work with a guy in Troy Aikman that you know, I think they take care of the quarterback. I don't think that's unique. I think that's the right thing to do, and that team is led by Russell Wilson, and to me, Russell Wilson is the reason why they still have hope in 2018, because I think he's that good, and I think a lot of teams would kill to have him. But you got to, you know, you have to surround him with the right guys. I don't know. You know, I've been around enough teams. I've been a teams announcer with the Cardinals for a lot of years, and then I became the national guy. And I don't think you know until you're there every day. And I don't think you know until you're on the team charter. And I don't think you know until you're on the team bus and checking into a hotel at midnight or 2 a.m., at least in the baseball world. You know, that's when you really get a sense of who likes who, what the real mood on the team is. So for me to even comment on that would be insane. I have no idea. I'm no different in that regard than some fan watching in wherever, Austin, Texas. I'm an outsider.
Hey, last,
so until you're there every day, I just don't think you know.
Hey, last thing here, and you got to get running. We do too, but I'm just curious. You think there's pressure on Pete this year? That if this thing doesn't go the right way come Sunday, you know, and you've been around this program a lot over the last 10 years, covered so many of their games. Do you think there can start to be a finger or pressure pointed back at the head coach?
I don't know. I don't really get the sense of that. But, again, you know, you guys are there every day, and maybe, you know, sometimes those things take on lives of their own. And if there's enough critical mass, you know, pushing it, I just don't know why. I think the guy's a great coach. I think he's somebody that, you know, still has the ear of the team. All that stuff's well and good, but you got to have the players. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't sense that that would be the case.
Well, I know this.
But
I know this.
Go ahead.
You're going to get some good sleep tonight.
I know. Good hotel sleep.
You're going to get a nice, quiet hotel room.
My room is going to be between 64 and 66 degrees, and yeah, it's going to be like hibernation time.
Joe, thank you, man. It was a great game to watch last night. It's always fun to catch up with you. Enjoy it. Enjoy the atmosphere on Sunday for the home opener. We'll be psyched to watch. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
There's Joe Buck. I know that he's polarizing for some,
that's
but
so silly.
I did not care for Joe when I was younger, and I have 180 degree turned around on that one. I think he is as good as anyone in the business.
Pro's
and it's
pro.
Always fun to talk to him, too.
Pro's pro.
Yeah. Yep. He's a fun guy to talk to. All right, Coors Light's Blue 42 coming up next here. Brock heard one alarming soundbite from the Seahawks this week. What was it? That and more next on Brock and Salk.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U-corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
Hey, it's a Friday edition of Coors Light's Blue 42, and even cooler because Brock's here. How cool is that? Brock's here. In a Friday. Brock's just here. He's doing the Husky game tomorrow, so he's not traveling.
Woo-hoo!
He's not on the app. He's not in some godforsaken ville in the middle of the South. He's not speaking with a Southern accent to some engineer who's helping him out after he's come back from a fishing and hunting
trip.
Bro,
you just wait till you listen to my podcast with Dabo that's coming out Tuesday. Dabo Sweeney, y'all. I was listening to it last night, y'all. It is something.
His name is Dabo.
It is right then and there.
He's a Southern.
Howdy, that's your favorite one so far, huh?
Oh, it's awesome.
Who's more Southern? Dabo Sweeney or Houston Nutt?
Houston Nutt's pretty South.
Yeah,
all right, question number two. No, I'm just kidding. That was question one.
Yes.
All right, actual question one. You said you heard one alarming thing come out of the Seahawks facility this week, Brock. What was it?
Yeah, we didn't really even talk about this because there was so much other stuff with the quarterback and the play call and everything else. But when someone brought it to my attention yesterday and asked me about it, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to answer that in Blue 42 because this is pretty alarming.
He worked really hard during this week. He weighed in about 8 pounds less than he did from the week before, coming off all of that time when he was not able to practice full speed. He just was ready to go, and I just wanted to see how he do.
That's not Fluger. That's not linebacker. That's your first-round pick. That's Rashad Penny at running back. How you lose 8 pounds in a week, number one, that's a little questioning. Number two, how did he gain 8 to 10 pounds anyway? You broke a finger. You could still run, right? You could still condition. You could still eat the right things. Like, we just kind of brushed that off and thought that was really cool, which it is, that he was committed and got
his legs. I could gain 10 pounds in a week. It would not take much to gain 10 pounds.
Well, you're 40 and not an NFL running back and athlete. So there's a little.
Howdy, how long would it take you to gain 10 pounds?
Roughly 11 days.
You think it would even take that long? Like, if It'd you think you needed to gain 10 pounds in, like, 3-4 days,
Howdy.
You could do it.
Howdy.
It's, I mean,
Howdy.
Yeah, it's hard.
We did another Southern road trip, bro. You're gaining 11 pounds with me in, like, 3 days, okay?
You guys are eating pizza in bed together. I mean,
yes,
come on.
Yeah.
You could get, trust me.
Ice cream,
you could gain 10,
pie,
11 pounds.
Wings,
so
ribs.
All right.
No. You don't find that in any way alarming?
No, he lost it again. It's fine.
Yeah.
Question number two.
Okay. That's your guy.
Shut that down. Brock, play action should be the thing you do after you establish the run, right?
Yes.
We talked a little bit about how the Seahawks haven't done enough running, but they also haven't done enough play action. Where's the play action game been?
Yeah, that's been equally
Isn't
disappointing.
That what Russell's good at?
That's what he's really good at.
What's
the
going
numbers,
on with Brian Schottenheimer?
And the numbers don't lie. 5 of 6, week number one, QB passer ratings like 50 points higher on play action pass, but not nearly enough, you know, just with the run game as well, and tying those two things together. I think from a play caller standpoint, and from Brian's, he would say to you guys, oh, that's great. Like, John Schneider wants linemen, and he's just going to pull them off the lineman tree in the backyard. Oh, you want play action. That's great. You know who's, you know, running down the right side here? You know who's crashing in these edges? A guy named Khalil Mack and Von Miller. And do you want me to fake a handoff and have those guys ear hole Russell? Right? Is that what you, oh, you think it's just so easy here to just, you know, get outside the pocket all the time? No, it's not easy. Just like running the football in the NFL is not easy. Did you watch your Thursday night game last night? There's a lot of hard yards, man. It is violent. And you've got to be committed to it. And both those teams were. Both the Jets and the Browns with young quarterbacks were pretty darn committed to it, even when it wasn't pretty. But it sure played a role. Carlos Hyde punched 2 touchdowns in running. Mm-hmm. Right, we're able to control the ball and shorten the game and play to the physical nature that those teams want to. And they don't even want to play at your nature. So that run play action will be certainly under the microscope Sunday.
All right, question number three. Cougs at USC tonight with a real huge opportunity in front of them. They don't face the level of must-win or pressure that UW or the Seahawks have this weekend. But they got a great opportunity to go to 4-0 and jump right back into the national conversation. Brock, how do they beat USC tonight?
Yeah, they beat them by just not being reckless and careless with the ball. And Gardner Minshew's got this nothing to lose, hair on fire, is so fun, and in some ways, I'm sure, for Cougar fans, a little bit freeing after Luke Falk. You know, Luke, especially in games on the road or in some of these environments, he felt like checkdowns. He felt the clock get all whack. You felt him take a beating. This guy is going to fling it, man. This guy, he's transferred from East Carolina. You know, he wears short shorts. He's hilarious. He's the life of the party. You know, he's kind of got his teammates over there like, man, I am so thankful for you and what a gift that you transferred in here in some of, you know, the adversity that we have certainly faced and gone through as a program. And you can do all of that. You just can't be reckless. Be aggressive. Don't be careless and reckless. And don't throw 4 or 5 picks and give that game away. And put the pressure on the team who's going to have all the pressure on them. That is USC in that Coliseum tonight on ESPN.
All right, there you go. That is the Blue 42 for today. Cougs with an opportunity. He does. He's kind of fun.
He is fun.
This Minshew kid.
Yeah, my buddy Curran's
he
like.
He fits with the Cougs.
Enough of this Browning Russell talk. Can we talk about the real kid?
Did I talk to your buddy Curran last night?
That's
the first thing he
balling?
Said to me.
Was it?
He's like, I just texted. Sorry, I couldn't answer. I was just texting Brock about Gardner Minshew and Jake Browning.
Yes. He's all over me.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to watch it. The crew's going to come over tonight. We get a Friday night as a crew to hang out together and
what
watch
crew?
The game. The TV crew that's
the
all
TV
flying
crew.
In from all
cool
over
all,
the
He's
country.
Inviting them all over to his house. Isn't that nice?
It's quite a gesture.
Isn't that? It feels like really nice.
Yeah.
I always hear about like invitations like that.
Well, what they're not going to say is, gosh, I didn't know I was in Spokane. When I had to drive,
well, no, that's because they're driving from the East Coast. It's closer to them than it is to us here in Seattle.
Oh, there you go.
All right. It's Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle. We got some sound that you're going to want to hear, even if you don't. Next, I'm Brock and Salk.